Yeah, I just had to play little Edgar Winter because he too has been known for doing a lot of work for the Church of Scientology. I think he even provided the score for some L. Ron Hubbard project, something. That's Edgar Winter. I don't know about his brother Johnny, if you are old enough to get the reference there, but it's been interesting, the number of celebrities that have come out and attempted to distance themselves from something which they had previously been pretty well associated with, including Neil Gaiman. But you know what? I'll ask Mark Headley about that in just a second, and you get to ask him anything you want. You got the questions, you got the phone number. We'll put those all together and we'll get you on the air coming up next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Well, just like last night when we had Amaryllis Fox on, we start our caller segment with, I think, oh, everything except the international line taken. Or maybe that is taken, or it was at one point anyway. We had somebody in England or Ontario. Anyway, hang on. We're talking with Mark Headley. And Mark, I'd mentioned Edgar Winter. He was sort of a surprise Scientologist to me, but he actually did some commercial production for L. Ron Hubbard's work, right?
He did album Space Jazz, which I think with the Battlefield Earth, Battlefield Earth book, and later on they did a soundtrack for the mission
Uh-oh.
Earth.
Uh-oh. We're getting some phone thetans. You're breaking up about every second word. Let me put you on hold for just a second, and have Donna see whether or not there's a disruption to the line. I'm sure it's merely coincidental, but I want to make sure that we're going to be able to hear your answer coming up because we've got so many people who have questions for you. And we will get to everybody if you can keep your questions short. I know we'll get to the answers in just a moment on Coast to Coast. Coming up this Friday night, by the way, I'll be back. I will be doing open lines. We don't have a guest yet, but we've already talked about a couple of fun things. Friday nights are almost always fun, and then we'll do 2 hours of open lines a little bit later on in the show coming up this Friday. So hang on. I know three in a row is a lot for me. It's probably do it for this month. People will be like, okay, no more of him for the rest of the month. But I'll enjoy it myself coming up on Friday. All right. So line better. Let's check it. Mark, we can hear you okay?
Can you hear me again?
Hey, we can. So tell me real quickly. So he had done something, a soundtrack or something like that, Edgar Winter?
Yeah, he did an album called Space Jazz, and that went with the Battlefield Earth book that L. Ron Hubbard wrote.
Okay.
And then he also did another one called Mission Earth. He did a bunch of songs for that soundtrack, and that was for another books, science fiction book series that L. Ron Hubbard did. And then he did a ton of gigs with the Golden Era Musicians, which were the musicians that worked for Scientology. So, yeah, I met him several times at several events that we did.
Michael is in Virginia Beach on a wild card line. We'll start off with Mark Headley and Michael. Go ahead, Michael.
Ian, Mark mentioned Congressman Sonny Bono. I'm concerned about other high-level government officials, not necessarily elected, who may be influenced by this group, maybe even influenced to the point where they are actually doing what many of them were arrested for doing in 1977, in July of 1977, when the FBI launched its 177 agent
Right.
raid on this church.
Yeah, he
Now,
mentioned that earlier. What you, so your question is other government officials who are or were Scientologists then, Michael?
well, here's my question, and I think Ian, you will be the person most responsible for protecting our government against these possible schemes because you own the platform. Now,
I own nothing.
well, here's what I'm saying. Any host on Coast to Coast
Right.
should be following up on this because I will tell you honestly
Well, let's get the
that
answer to the question first, Michael. Hang on. I want to get because you asked us. So, what about the who, how do Michael's question is, do we think that it was there's still as many people as influential and high into the government as there was back in 77 with that raid?
I don't think there are. I think in a lot of cases, they do a lot of glad handing with these people, and they do them favors. And I know in Clearwater, when they were having all sorts of problems there, they met with a lot of different political figures in Florida, and they had John Travolta come to an event and dance with their wives, these big political figures that they wanted to get in bed with. And as soon as John Travolta took their wives out on the dance floor, it was like, what do you guys need? What do you want? What can we do for you?
Yeah, that's interesting.
And that's how they kind of oil the wheels in Florida. I don't know if they can do that really anywhere else. And I don't know how much John Travolta's dancing legs can get around the country. But I know that's the kind of thing they do. I know that they were using Tom Cruise for a lot of that stuff internationally, where he was meeting with the president of Tokyo or Taiwan or, you know, these different places where he's going and he's meeting with prime ministers of different countries and trying to kind of get Scientology's education technology or their education front groups or drug front groups involved with politics and politicians. And I think the internet has done a lot, and there's been a lot of exposing of these front groups. So it's not as easy for Scientology to kind of grease the wheels and get in there like they used to.
First time caller line, Adam is in Burbank for Mark Headley. Go ahead, Adam.
Hello. First of all, how do you know you're an SP declare? Do they send you like a certificate with a suitable for framing with a picture of L. Ron Hubbard with a stern expression?
Right. Like a finger wag or like a no zone around my face or something like that?
Well, there's only so many pictures of L. Ron Hubbard.
That's true.
They actually have what's called an SP declare, a suppressive person declare. And it's a piece of paper. It's black ink on goldenrod paper. And it says at the top, suppressive person declare, and then it has your name. I have one. My wife has one. If you're one of the lucky few to actually get given one, it's sort of a big deal. You know, I'm sort of a big deal. But
yeah.
But they stopped giving them out, I want to say, in the late 2000s, as far as I know. They no longer give them out. They still issue them internally, so everyone inside the bubble can see who's a suppressive person. But the suppressive person themselves no longer get a copy.
I'm bummed. I want one. I feel ripped off. I mean, I was
thinking about making them online and selling people them, like having them numbered. And I think it's a big business.
I would put that right next to my diploma. I put it up on my wall. I think that. All right, let's go to west of the Rockies. Kevin is in Bakersfield for Mark Headley. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yes, I understand. Mark talked about Leah Remini and her TV series earlier.
Remini, yes.
Remini.
Aftermath.
Yes. Could he elaborate a little bit more? Was it canceled because of opposition from the church?
I don't think that it was basically the stories that they told on that show were limited by the network, by the production company, by lawyers. It was only so much that could be shown on that show. And I think the show basically took its course in that format, in that medium. And as far as I know, there's a possibility that there might be another type of show where there might be other projects in the works. I'm not privy to that, but they had three amazing seasons with an amazing amount of people that survivors and people who escaped and told their stories, heart-wrenching stories, and they did win an Emmy. So and I think they were nominated at least two. I think they were nominated all three seasons. So for an Emmy. And they won other awards as well. And Leah's won a slew of different, awards for that program and that project. But I know that from the little that I know, there was some pushback on some of the stories that they wanted to tell, just
the lawyers and the parent companies and networks were not on board, just because it was very, very like bleeding edge type stuff that you've got to really have a big set of cojones to tell that story and see what's going to happen.
You know what, though? I'll tell you, I was a fan. I watched a plurality of the episodes, and as much as I enjoyed it, I did think it had reached a point of repetitiveness. So I thought they had really made their case. I think they actually stopped at just the right time. And they were still running in, you know, they were running in reruns for quite a while. And I think that was the beauty of the show, actually, was that it didn't just go on and on and on and on and on rehashing it. It made tilled new ground frequently, but not every time. And it doesn't matter whether it's Dr. Pimple Popper or, you know, the hoarder show or My 600-Pound Wife or whatever. It doesn't, they don't, those shows have, there's kind of a story arc that happens over and over again. Same thing with, like, you know, Beat Bobby Flay, for God's sake. So, I mean, I think that was really much more, it was a victim of its own success than it was, it didn't feel unrequited. I thought it was a big-time hit. I thought it was cool. Ellen's in New Jersey, east of the Rockies on Coast to Coast. Ellen?
Yeah, first of all, I want to thank you so much for taking my call. I was waiting for the open lines, but unfortunately, I never get through during the open lines.
Well, you're in now.
Actually, I had a question about, first of all, I want to say thank you very much for your call, Sister Greer, and to tell you how knowledgeable she is.
Oh, Donna's a
we
wins,
had a very interesting conversation.
Doesn't surprise. She should be hosting the show. I should be answering.
About John Travolta, however, it has been answered. Unfortunately, I tuned in late this evening. Now, what is the magnet to this Scientology?
Yeah, that's a great question. Actually, that's a really good core question, and more interesting than the celebrity piece. Yeah, what is that secret sauce that keeps drawing in the celebrities?
What they do is they have a thing, especially for the celebrities. They have a way where they do a series of tests, and through these tests, they can find out what a person's ruin is. So it's the thing in their life that they cannot solve and they cannot figure out. Scientology has a way to isolate this thing, and no matter what it is, they tell them they have an answer for that, and there's a course they can do. Let's say their ruin is that they have a horrible time with relationships. They say, and this is what they do to everybody, not just celebrities. They say, listen, we've got a course on how to get along with others, and it's going to help you in your relationships, and you're going to be able to get a girlfriend after you do this course. And it's only $200. And you do that course, and when you do that course, you actually find out there's 10 other things that you have wrong that you didn't even know about. And you find out the biggest one of those, there's a course that you can deal with one of those. And then there's another course, and there's another course. And it's a constant bait and switch until 15 years later, $500,000 gone, and you're on your second divorce, and you still can't get along with others. And you basically figure out it's just been a constant bait and switch all along. And what ends up happening is when that first thing that you got in for, they'll kind of milk that throughout the whole thing. And that'll be kind of your story of, this is the thing that keeps you going because you're trying to get, you're trying to solve this thing. And almost always the thing that you're trying to sort out will be sorted out on the next thing that you do. And that's sort of how it goes the whole time. And you handle all these other things that you didn't even know you had wrong with you, that they're explaining to you that you have wrong with you.
Right.
And that kind of satisfies the hunger, because you have fixed all these other things, but you still want to fix that other thing, that main thing.
Can I add something in there? I want to add something in there, that there's something about that also sounds very self-obsessed. And if there's something
that's the thing that I was going to say ties into the celebrity thing, which is very ego.
Yeah.
Ego. They see the ego. And And for celebrities, they have a, it's kind of a little bit of a twist to it, which is you're an artist, and artists are always trying to be suppressed and brought down. And we're going to teach you how to identify the people right. around you that are keeping you down and not letting you flourish as an artist. And so that's the sort of thing they do. They coddle the ego. And almost all artists and celebrities and actors and they do have this crave for attention and applause and recognition.
Right.
And so Scientology gives them that recognition and gives them that, they feed that and they fuel it. And that's how they drag these guys in there.
Yeah.
And also, these guys believe that if they stop doing Scientology, any success that they've had was due to Scientology, so they will no longer have that success if they throw Scientology to the wayside.
You know, this is I use this when I talk to somebody who I needs to go in for therapy or something, and they'll be like, you know, I'm not comfortable. I'm like, dude. I mean, think of it this way. Somebody's being paid to listen to you talk for an hour. Enjoy it. Just have at it. And there's something about that with that Scientology piece, too, with everybody focused on your thoughts and what you're experiencing. And it's very attractive. All right. Chip is in Lawrence, Kansas. Just down the road from me. Chip?
Good morning, gentlemen. First off, I want one of those suppressive person letters. I'll buy one.
Yeah. Nice. You got a separate business going here, Mark. I think you should think about that. Go ahead, Chip. What's your question?
Secondly, people that want to watch Leah's show is available on Hulu.
Oh, sure.
All three seasons.
That is correct.
Yeah.
So go watch it, everybody. Mark, my question for you, first of all, I applaud what you do. You're a hero, and I want to go meet Leah so I can give her a big hug. My question for you is, what would be the death blow to this cult? And how could John Q. Public, a non-member such as myself, help to bring that about?
There you go.
I think the death blow would be losing their tax exemption.
Yeah.
If they lost their tax exemption, that would cut off substantial amounts of their funding, and it would also make them have to pay taxes, which would be a huge amount just on property taxes alone and all sorts of other things. But
it would change the way employees get treated. I mean,
that's exactly right. They would have to pay payroll tax and all sorts of things that they're not having to pay. They'd have to probably maybe even have to pay minimum wage.
Oh, God forbid.
When they made the deal with the IRS, when they did get tax exemption, they had a $1 billion tax bill with the IRS in 1993 when they got exemption. So that's how much they racked up, not paying in 50 years.
Right.
They racked up $1 billion. So
wow.
The only thing I can think of is that if you write your local politicians, for the people that are involved in Scientology, for them to report things to their local sheriff, their local FBI offices, these are the sort of, the more files, the more reports that are created, the more pieces that can be tied together. That essentially is what's going to prove that they're not a not-for-profit. There's no public benefit from them not having to pay taxes.
We'll leave that there for the moment, and we'll come back. The phones are still full, and we'll get to everybody we can. Thank you, Chip. Appreciate that. Go Wildcats. Okay, so Mike and Marcel and others who are hanging on, we'll get to all of you. We'll hook you up with Mark Headley. The book is Blown for Good. If you hear the phone situation changed a little bit, we had to put him on a backup phone. We'll see if we can't get him back on primary during this break, too. But thanks for hanging in there, Mark. And for everybody else, stand by. Where you're listening to Coast to Coast AM, this is Ian Punnett. The book is Blown for Good. Starts with a great car chase. Behind the Iron Curtain of Scientology, Mark Headley. He bravely published this book on his own, and it was always a hit. It's still fun to read it. 10 years after the very first time we had him on Coast to Coast, it's still great. And so is Mark, and so are you. If you're hanging on, we'll get to your questions next on Coast to Coast AM. This is Ian Punnett. Marcel is in London, Ontario on Coast to Coast AM for Mark Headley, Blown for Good. Marcel?
Yes, hello, Ian and Mark. Just for the record, jazz greats Chick Corea and Stanley Clarke, who played in Return to Forever, are also Scientologists, or were.
Yeah. And Mark, are they alive? Mark, are they alive? That's my problem. Everybody I name has already
alive.
Died. Okay.
Chick Corea and Stanley are both still alive, and Chick actually, in the last, I'd say, decade, moved to Clearwater, Florida, to be closer to the church. Mark, I wanted to ask you, philosophically, I don't know much about Scientology, but there are a couple concepts in Scientology that seem familiar to a mystic that lived, many decades ago called Gurdjieff. And I'm just wondering what Ron Hubbard's philosophical background or what were the roots of his ideas. And if there's time, what's Scientology's ultimate aim? Our world conquest? And could they also be working for the CIA, shadow government? Ron Hubbard was in the military, was he not?
He was, and his background actually was, I think, really started with Aleister Crowley and sort of the dark, like magic and the dark arts and sort of things like that. I seriously doubt he was actually kind of kicked out of the military. I don't think Scientology has any place within the government. There's any use for them whatsoever. And I also think that Hubbard pretty much closed the doors on all of that. He's very anti-government. And their ultimate goal is to clear the planet so that every single person in the world is a Scientologist and achieves the state they call clear, which is they no longer are controlled by their reactive minds. So I don't think they're anywhere near that, and I don't think they're going to get anywhere near that, no matter how much money and real estate they amass over the decades.
Marcel mentioned Gurdjieff, and he's an esoteric. He's part of the Esoterica movement, and I'm pretty familiar with Gurdjieff and with P.D. Ouspensky. There's nothing like the fourth way that I would parallel with Scientology, which is Gurdjieff's probably his best known work. Mike is in Denver on Coast to Coast AM on a wildcard line. Mike?
Hey, good morning, Ian. Thank you so much for taking my call, and I want to thank you both so much for your courageous work you've done to bring this to light about Scientology. It really means a lot. So a comment and then a question, Mark. So my interest in Scientology started out actually, strangely enough, through David Carradine. He had said he took a few Scientology classes, and I became very interested in the subject because I was a big fan of him at the time, and also Christopher Reeve. So I delved into it when I was about 18, 19. I studied all I could on Hubbard, everything I could. I absorbed it, and I actually got involved. I called the Los Angeles Church of Scientology, and they offered me a job to come live there and work for the church. Now, this is in 2015, right after I graduated high school, and I saw a lot of documentaries that changed my mind about it. But my question for you is, what advice do you give those young people, millennials out there, that are considering going into Scientology as a career path? Thank you.
Well, if you work for a Scientology organization like the one in Los Angeles, you can work as a staff member or you can work as a Sea Org member. The Sea Org is sort of that fraternal order where we work in 100 hours a week and we're being paid $45, basically about 36 cents an hour. When you're working for the organization as a staff member, you don't actually make that much more, but you have to pay your own rent and food and all those sort of things. Most of the time, if somebody reaches out to me and asks me about that, just the pure economics of the situation will turn them away. And then a lot of times I just tell them, go online and look at other people that have worked there and see if that's something that you'd like to achieve. And don't pay attention to any of the Scientology PR pieces that they put out regarding working for them. And in most cases, that'll do the trick. If you watch Going Clear or a season of A&E, the Scientology in the Aftermath, you're not going to end up working for those people. This is not going to happen.
You dodged a bullet, dude. Pete is in Port Charlotte, Florida, on Coast to Coast AM for Mark Headley. Go ahead, Pete.
Interesting that Hubbard had roots with Aleister Crowley. That's interesting to me. My question is, how has this affected your spirituality? Have you found Jesus in the true religion, or are you an atheist, or what exactly?
I like I said before, I spent about 86,000 hours in Scientology. I think I'm an expert on that subject. And currently I'm just taking a break from that sort of thing. I call myself spiritual. I believe that there's a creator, and I believe that if you do good deeds will come back to you, and try to treat other people as you would want them to treat you, and sort of, I think Martin Gore said it best. He said, there's no space for the regrets I will remember to forget. So I don't regret what I went through. I think that I learned from that, and I basically just want to live my life and be happy and spend my time with my current family, my three boys and my wife, and just try to make the world a better place. And if I can help warn people against the experiences I've had so that they don't have to go through those, I think that's sort of what my purpose is. That's why I've been put here to do that, and that's working out so far.
Wildcard line, Dylan is in Indiana on Coast to Coast AM for Mark Headley. Go ahead, Dylan.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep.
All right. I was wondering, you mentioned before that there was a film done, a short film on you, and I wanted to know where we could access that.
Yeah, did they ever post it on Vimeo or anything like that?
Yeah, I think it's actually on Vimeo. I think if you just look Mark Headley, Blown for Good, it'll show up. It's a short video. I can actually look it up. I think it's by RM Productions, if I remember correctly. It's been a few years since it was produced, but I'll look it up, and I'm pretty sure if you just search Mark Headley, Blown for Good, short, I think that's what it'll show up.
That's worth a try. East of the Rockies, Judy is in Sodak on Coast to Coast AM for Mark Headley. Go ahead, Judy.
Yes, I guess my question is these billion-year contracts, how are they possibly, can you legally enforce them? They seem more of an intimidation, manipulation sort of thing. And I guess another thing, I guess an insight was just sort of, is this more just sort of an update of trying to start a religion in the 20th century with, instead of, angels and, the things that nobody knew about scientifically with the advances in science, just sort of an update to make it believable with the alien origin story?
Yeah, I think, the billion-year contract, that's a little tricky on that one. Obviously, it's unenforceable. When you die, how are they going to track you down and get you to come back the next time? That's a little silliness. But more recently, people that have escaped, or people that were even just in services that signed any sort of religious contract with Scientology, in that contract, it states that you will not pursue legal action against Scientology, and if you have a grievance, you will use their internal arbitration processes, internal to Scientology.
Right.
And Scientology's actually had some success with this in the last few years, where lawsuits are being basically dismissed because the people that are suing Scientology signed a thing that they would do arbitration using Scientology's justice system.
Binding arbitration.
Silly, because once you leave Scientology, you have no rights.
Right.
So these people essentially are just doing a little kangaroo court routine with Scientology, where they just are told, no, you're suppressive. That's the end. You're done. You don't get any. You don't get your money back or whatever it is. So that's a little thing that Scientology kind of weaved into their system, where they have you signing all these agreements regularly throughout your time in Scientology.
First-time caller line, Craig is in North Dakota. We go from Judy in South Dakota to Craig in North Dakota. Craig?
Hey, hi to Judy, my friend from the South. Hey, excellent topic tonight, guys. Really quick, I'll take your answer off the air. Are there any professional athletes that you know that belong to this cult?
Well, I'd be surprised if there weren't. Mark?
There used to be a guy named, I think his name was Charles Lakes. In the 80s, he was a gymnast and Olympic gymnast. And I think he ended up in the Olympics. And I think he might have won a bronze or I don't remember. I just remember he was being heavily, heavily promoted as a Scientologist at the time. Additionally, there's a guy named Philippe de Henning that was a race car driver. There's a guy named Keith Code that was a motorcycle racer. I don't know of any other ones besides a couple handful like that.
Kind of surprising that football or basketball, because those celebrities tend to travel in the same circles as a lot of performers.
Yeah, well, in the 80s, when one of the Scientology schools that I went to, Apple School, there was a football player named John Brody.
Yeah,
who was a very popular football player.
Yeah, he was a quarterback for the Niners.
Yeah, and he was involved. But I don't know, even when I was working for them throughout the 90s, I don't really remember a lot of big, you know, prominent sports figures. They have a lot of the Purification Rundown, which is sort of their cleanse drug detox program, goes against a lot of medical and physical way you would train or the way you would deal with your body. And I think that would turn a bunch of those guys away really quickly.
And that's very controlled by teams. So you're really not allowed, if you're a professional athlete, you go to the team doctors. And
yeah,
you follow
exactly.
the team
and
regimen.
That,
or you're in violation of your contract.
Very anti-drug. So right. Any kind of medications or any sort of things like that, you would not be allowed to take if you were in Scientology. So that kind of would rule out a lot of things that normal sports people take for pain or, you know, all sorts of different things.
West of the Rockies, Juanita has been hanging on for a while in Fort Bragg. Go ahead, Juanita.
Hey, hi, Ian and Mark. I was just going to mention real quick, I didn't know if I should talk about the Rosicrucians and what my grandfather got our family messed up in. He was the only one that could read the books, and it was popular in the 70s. You could fill out something in a magazine and then send it off, and they want your money. And nobody else in the family could look at his books except him. And it reminded me of something that you said, Mark. And then, but the Watchtower, I was in there for 10 years, and I don't know, I was feeling alone and all this stuff, so my husband and I got in there.
In Jehovah's Witness, you're saying? Because you mentioned Watchtower.
Yes.
Right.
But I got in there, and little did I know that there were so many suicides of people that felt when they got booted out, instead of talked to and trying to help, they would, some of them committed suicide, and there was a lot of pedophilia. I didn't even know that. And the main branch office is in Bethel, New York, as many people know. But the thing is, they have good intentions, the worker bees, as I call them, the ones that knock on doors. They don't know they're brainwashed. Well, I'm sure glad they booted me out finally. But before I got booted
out. What was the reason they booted you out?
Do I have to tell you?
Come on.
Oh, okay.
Come on.
If my son's listening, he'll kill me. I hope not. My husband and I weren't getting along. We were of two different nationalities, and for some reason, we split up, and it was more or less, it was 50-50 at least, but they thought it was a little more my fault than his, and so I got kicked out. And so but before that, when I was pregnant with my second son, I didn't go to the Watchtower that was right across the street from where we lived, and so I had to lay down on a couch in the living room or go into the bedroom and stay on the bed for 7.5 months so I wouldn't lose the baby, Pablo, my second one. And so anyway, the elders, two of them, came to the door and knocked on it and came in and said, Juanita, if you don't get to the Kingdom Hall, you might end up dying in Armageddon. And I thought, oh, brother.
Like, you need that guilt.
The only true religion, like most religions, think they're the only true religion when Christ is the only way. That there is no other way. So
I've never, it's funny. I'm a committed Christian, but I've never believed in that my church, I mean the Episcopal Church, I never think of it as like the one true way, and they don't either. You know, there's nothing about that in our worldview. It's like, yeah, we're taking a good stab at it. You know, there's not like a sense of you're either us or you're damned, you know. And I hear that, yeah, when other people talk about that, and I think, gosh, I'm so glad that wasn't part of my experience. But Mark, where are you relating into this with what Juanita was talking about?
I think that they have a lot of similarities. I know that when we were doing the TV show, there was a lot of people reaching out from Jehovah Witnesses, from Watchtower, from a lot of different groups saying that they experienced very similar things happening that we're talking about on the Scientology show. So, I mean, I don't want to say that they're the same because I'm not familiar with these things. I just know that
right. There's
a lot of people coming out saying the same thing happened to them.
And you know, and then a lot of that could be about the personality of the local person too. It's not even necessarily the church. It can be just some guy who's like, you know, driving it like a cult in his own neighborhood or something like that.
That video is called the Escape Official Trailer, and it's by a girl by the name of Rachel Myers on Vimeo. Escape Official Trailer, and that's the short movie that they did based off of the book.
You know how you can tell that there's an Episcopalian at an interfaith communion? They're the ones who send the wine back. So it's nice. it's a very funny joke if you know about how that is. And I just, you know, there's something to be said about, I believe it was Oscar Wilde who said, the measure of a good religion is whether you can make a joke about it. Do people ever joke about Scientology within Scientology?
Well, there's actually a policy letter. It might be a Hubbard bulletin. It might actually be both. And it's called Jokers and Degraders. And it basically, Hubbard says, anybody who's joking about Scientology is either connected to a suppressive person, or they have crimes, or they're not here for the good of the group, sort of thing. So there's not a lot of comedy going on inside Scientology.
Well, that's a good place to leave. Although this was like 2 years in the making, buddy. I mean, I know that we started talking about, it's so good to have you back on.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me. Blown for Good is on Audible, Amazon. You can go to blownforgood.com, and if you get one from there, it's a signed paperback or a signed hardback. And you can get about it just about anywhere. You can get a book, Apple, iTunes, you name it. You'll get it somehow.
Congratulations for all your continued success. And I mean that personally as well as professionally. So, again, I'll look for you on Twitter. Let's keep in touch. And I'll be back on this Friday. Don't know who the guest is yet for the first 2 hours. But pray for those in Australia who are suffering right now, the fires and all that comes along with it, and for the people around the world in pain and suffering, including those people who are locked up somewhere in a church. Deus te amat, and I do too.